This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. You might have seen on social media in recent days some talk about, at least from one teacher at Galesburg High School, who, for the purposes of this discussion, we're not going to necessarily identify, but there's been some talk that some of the technology-related courses like keyboarding and some other robotics and other type things might be cut next year from Galesburg High School. But as is the case when you see a lot of things on social media, there's more to the story than that. That's why we're glad to have some time tonight. In a rare Galesburg's Evening News appearance with Galesburg School District Superintendent Dr. John Asplin. John, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me here, Will.
So you're, as a superintendent, and you've been doing this a long time, obviously, I should probably ask in the broad spectrum, you're constantly looking at curriculum and what you think students should and shouldn't be learning, right?
Absolutely. That's
kind of talk about that kind of how that process usually goes.
Thanks
first,
for asking.
Could.
Sure. So it's an ongoing process every year. We look at what are the outcomes we want to have for our students at Galesburg High School, and how do we then prime that pump, so to say, from the junior high and grade school point of view. So how do we have a cohesive and coherent articulated curriculum vertically and horizontally, meaning vertically meaning that kindergarten speaks to first grade, speaks to second grade, and then horizontally that all third grade teachers are doing similar, you know, types of things.
So, sure.
That goes with any subject. And so it's really an ongoing and evolving process every year to make sure that we're staying current and staying relevant for the students. And, you know, this year's no different. But the only thing I would say that maybe is a little bit different this year is that we had those 13 meetings in the community last year where the community really talked about one of the greatest, strongest messages the community gave us from those meetings was that they wanted to make sure that our kids were leaving Galesburg High School with relevant skills to make sure that they were employable and then also to be able to be successful in the world of work, college, wherever they're going. And so we are looking at a lot of our vocational skills to make sure that those are strident and deep enough that our students feel confident and are able to go out and become nurses or mechanics or firemen or police officers or computer coders or whatever we're talking about. So, you know, that's been a definite charge that the community gave us. So we're going through that, right, that process now, and we'll continue to.
I remember talking to you a couple of months ago, actually at the opening of Jupiter Machine Tool, where through the vocational center, students will be getting some experience with that. And we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, there had been a push for years to get students ready for college. And then that kind of has shifted in a way to just getting students more ready for a vocation, especially if they're not college, if they're not the college type of student per se.
Right.
How delicate of a balance is that to kind of deal with vocations versus dealing with college preparedness?
Well, I mean, it's a balance only in that the state requires that we do certain things for every student. But really what we're trying to do is deal with student aspirations and making sure that they are equipped to be able to pursue whatever goal it is that they have, whether that is a vocational goal or an academic goal. And, you know, maybe they want an advanced degree, which obviously is going to take them in a different direction than someone who wants to be a pipe fitter. Both are wonderful choices to make, and whatever's for that student is what we want them to be able to do.
So let's kind of fast forward then to what's been kind of spread on social media. And we were talking off the air. I should applaud you. You don't use social media yourself per se, and it's, I imagine you probably have somebody else kind of using it on behalf of the district. So
yes,
I don't blame you if you never actually see any of this stuff.
Well, right. So I am a Twitter user. I do get a lot of my news through Twitter.
You should be getting it through the radio, John. I'm
well, and WGI. You
that's
didn't let me
better.
Finish. But I do not use Facebook at all. And so, you know, I know that because people have forwarded things to me that there has been some information out there that really is counter to what's going on at the school. So I'm happy to be here to sort of set the record straight.
Well, let me explain first that in this case, and the teacher in question here so far is declining to be interviewed. Not that I necessarily blame him either, but he claims that courses that he's taught over the years, like in regards to robotics, coding, video production, virtual reality, drones, and even some keyboarding, are all going away in the next school year. And frankly, and I'm sorry if he hears this and feels this way, but it seems like it was he made it sound like it was an all of the sudden decision. And I think what we kind of established here is that's not the case at all.
No, and it, you know, it's really not any different than what's gone on in any other department. Last year, I will say that I made it very clear that I thought it was should be a very strong goal of ours to move keyboarding down to the junior high at the preferably the grade school, but we need to make sure we have somebody certificated and able to teach it. So,
and that's something I wondered about when this was first kind of being spread, was that this is something that kids younger and younger are almost developing some of these skills on their own without the help of school.
Right. And so, you know, you want to make sure that we have students developing effective skills. You know, it's great to be able to learn some things on your own, but oftentimes you can also then create some bad habits. So we want to make sure that we get those taught as early as we can at the effective age anyway. So keyboarding, that decision was basically made last year that it was needed to go down to the junior high. Well, then that would open spots up in the high school for deeper learning because ideally then those students would acquire those skills earlier so they could deepen those skills into something more impactful for them at the high school level. And so that process, once again, not unusual to any other department. They go through this every year where the department heads meet with the building administration and our curriculum director and go through what they believe should be changed in their curriculum. And that's a great thing that our teachers are able to do. And obviously we can't take everybody's input all the time because we have a finite amount of resources and, we're going to have different opinions on things from time to time. And this process was the same in this department as well. So, this has been ongoing from, really the beginning of the year till, the last few weeks, to where we need to get the course book out for students to be able to register for next year. And so in the menu of options that are going to be offered for our students, if you only looked at one department, it may look like those classes are going away, but you have to look at it from the whole scope of the school. And really some of those courses that have been labeled in one department really needed to be moved to another department.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not even the school's decision. That's because the State Board of Education has what's called course codes.
Yeah.
And those course codes then correspond. You have to be able to match a class that you teach with a state-approved course code so that students can get credit.
So it's not that you're getting rid of them. You're just trying to make sure that what's available is, one, as you've said, what students need, and two, you're offering them the right way.
Correct. Yeah. So we want to make sure that we have properly certificated people that are teaching classes in the proper coded area so that our students get credit, but then also with the vocational side of things, I won't get too much in the weeds here, but we can get some funding from the federal government for some of those classes. And obviously, we'll always take money from the federal government if we can get it. So, it's always going to be advantageous for us to do that. And I guess the thing I want to make clear at this time is we don't know, as we sit here today, we don't know who's teaching any class next year. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and say somebody's moving, somebody's not moving. We haven't matched the teacher with the courses yet because we have to have the students request the courses, make sure that we have enough students to take the non-required courses, the elective courses, and then we have to match the certificated people with those courses. So
you can offer all the courses in the world, but if enrollment isn't there, what's the point?
Correct. Yeah, we can't, because of resource management, you can't have, the Socratic method where you have one-on-one method here with a teacher to a student. So we at the high school, we have a general rule of 15 that you have to have 15 students in a class before it will hold. There are exceptions made on that for, looking at every instance. But in general, we say there has to be 15 students in every class. So if classes have historically not reached that 15-student threshold, we're now saying, well, we probably won't offer those anymore because it's been shown that those classes aren't ones that students are going to take. And then in other classes, maybe we combine them or we move them or we're changing to a different department. I mean, it's not unusual for those things to happen on a yearly basis.
So in other words, you'd love to offer these classes. You're working at making sure they're coded right and in the right department at the high school. But if enrollment isn't at that 15 threshold, they may not be around.
Well, yeah, that's fair. I mean, we want to make sure that we are able to, with the current teachers that we have, we want to make sure we're able to offer the classes that we need to be able to offer. Obviously, the required ones have to go first, and then the elective ones then have to stand on their own and make sure that students are requesting them.
I should say, while this conversation is airing on Thursday, we're taping it on Wednesday because somehow Dr. Asplund just had all kinds of free time show up on Wednesday thanks to school not being around.
Well, and I've been up since 4 checking the road, so hey, if I say something crazy, it might be because of lack of sleep.
Be a good morning disc jockey then. But I say this because we're talking even before the governor gives his budget address today, and you kind of brought up you know, a point about you'd be glad to take all kinds of federal money, but there's still, as there have been methods in place to try to get state funding back to a level that is more of what you would expect, that regardless of what any governor says, you're always going to be concerned about budgetary matters in relation to all this, right?
Well, absolutely. And if we're going to have any program, we want to make sure that we can sustain the program. And so that's a lot of the reasoning behind what we're doing too, in this and in every other case. We don't want to be able to just offer something for 1 year. We want to be able to sustain it and be able to grow the program and make sure that those things, perpetuate. And in a lot of cases, those things have happened in the past, but we also have the other side of this where we have to make sure that those individuals teaching the classes are actually certificated and endorsed in those areas.
That's that's an important thing too, because you may have the experience and the know-how, but if you're not certified to do it, then again, I'm not a big fan of onerous regulations, but in this case, they're there for a reason.
Right. I mean, you do need to follow those rules, and we're working closely with the Regional Office of Education to make sure that all of our teachers are properly certificated and endorsed in the classes that they teach.
Last question here. In terms of how you're planning for next year in terms of courses and things like that, not just at the high school level, which we've kind of been talking about, but in terms of the lower grades too, where are you at currently in that process, and how soon do you expect to have that done? I imagine that has to be done pretty quickly for when registration comes around, right?
Right. At the grade schools next year, you probably won't see a lot of difference. And at the junior highs, probably not a lot of difference. As we move through the many, many different committees that we are using for our building process, you may see some curricular enhancements. We are trying to create space in the elementary and junior high to have technology taught in the grade schools and junior high. So once again, we are fully committed and even more committed now than we were last year.
Sure.
In offering a complete assortment and depth of knowledge for any student who wants to have some experience with technology or a tremendous amount of experience with technology. And so that, it's really going in the opposite direction of what people have told me. It's been on social media. I'm always hesitant because I didn't personally see it. It's just what people have told me.
I learned to type on an IBM Selectric more than 25 years ago. Is that a problem?
You know what? I took typing class and I used a manual typewriter.
Oh, goodness.
And really liked the manual. I got very nervous on the electric because if your finger twitched, you hit the letter. I got really comfortable with being able to push down really hard. So it's obviously very different now. And, typing used to be a class we all took, and I took it. But that's obviously, we've gone a lot farther than that now, and we need to make sure that we're teaching those computer application classes that aren't just building off of keyboarding. That's a very, very basic level, but then we need to build from there and talk about how students can use the technology around them as a tool to deepen their understanding in any class.
I say, if you're not careful now, you're going to bust through a lot of keyboards the way you learn how to type.
Yeah, I'm not easy on keyboards thanks to my manual typewriter training.
No, news writing, sometimes when you have to write quickly and write 7,000 words a minute, I'm surprised I've never seen smoke come out of a keyboard I've used.
And I will say this, now granted, when I went to college, we still didn't use computers for anything other than word processing, but my typing skills did come in handy because it was basically my college job, because I had lots of my friends that wanted papers typed.
Ah, there you go.
I was more than happy to type them for a small fee.
So, hey,
Yeah, it's a great skill to have.
You got to make a buck. There
exactly.
You go. District 205 Superintendent Dr. John Asplund, thanks for setting the record straight, and thanks for your time, and hopefully this ends it. But you know how social media goes. You just never know.
Well, and I thank you for the opportunity to come in, and I'm sure in the end it will all be to the benefit of the students, and it will be fine. We just need to make sure that we get the message out there that, no, we are not reducing opportunities for students. We're actually trying to increase them.
John, thanks as always.
You bet.
Stay tuned. Business news and sports coming up as Galesburg's Evening News continues on WGIL.